Well, good morning. Good to see you this morning. I know something my mom passed out to some of you. The Savannah Care Settle baby bottle campaign has begun for the month of September. So we have plenty of bottles, and take them home, fill them up with your checks or your cash or your change. But you notice I started with the checks, hoping the amount would be bigger than the change. All right. Do we have an amount yet from the sweet potatoes thing, Julie? In the back? Okay. All right. A very good turnout Monday night, Savannah, at the sweet potatoes for the Savannah Care Center. And doing that, so this is the whole month. You can take more than one bottle, but they're all back there ready to go. And anything, Julie, you want to add to that or say about that? All right. Well, that's good enough then for that this morning. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to discuss something that is elementary in nature, but I think it's very important. So let's pray. Father, we bless you today. We honor you. Father, Dusty spoke earlier about Holy Spirit. Father, I would pray that we would allow the Holy Spirit to be active. Father, we won't shove aside the things you have been speaking to us about, the things you're going to speak to us about. Father, we bless you today. May we be a blessing to you all day long. Father, may we come to the end of this day and be satisfied that we were pleasing to you all day long, that we won't look back and feel like we wasted anything that you gave to us, you put into our hands. Lord, I would pray that you would protect us, keep our hearts and our minds very safe. God, I would pray that you would help us to just lay down before you the things that we're carrying, the weight that we're carrying, the thoughts that are so distracting to us. Lord, that sounds so easy to say, but Lord, it can be so difficult. So help us. Help us very much with that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, like I said to you earlier, speak to something today, guys, that's very simple, very elementary, but I believe it's very foundational to our relationship with God. And that is wisdom. And man, John, you came up with a kind of a cool picture for me on that PowerPoint for me. Thank you for that. Title is Seeking Wisdom, but I've been reading about King Solomon. Most of you know the story of King Solomon just as well as I do. You've read all the stories 10 dozen times just like I have. But I came across a passage that had nothing to do with Solomon, post-Solomon era, that really struck me to contrast how we go about seeking wisdom from God. Solomon is kind of the model for asking God for wisdom. And often we quote the James passage about seeking wisdom. We're going to look at that later. But there was a story from King Jehoshaphat. John, you want to go ahead and put that scripture up? That really struck me as we contrast seeking wisdom in the middle of the storm versus seeking wisdom before things go awry and asking God to go ahead and be showing us things and preparing us for what is coming that we don't know about. So we're going to contrast a little bit today, seeking wisdom in the middle of the storm versus seeking wisdom from God just to get prepared for what God is bringing into our lives or what God's taking us to. I think there's a huge difference, church, and we need to understand that. God's wisdom, we know, is not like man's wisdom. We know all those things. That's what I'm saying. It's an elementary thing. But I believe there's some depth to it that we have yet to mine from God's wisdom. Because most of us, if we're being honest with ourselves, don't we pray reactively? Don't we pray in reaction to things in our life? Don't we pray reacting to situations in our life? That's kind of the commonplace for most of our prayer lives. Or we pray with a proactive end to situations that we want to see work out from our perspective in a good way. Not necessarily praying to say, God, how can you be glorified? How can your name be proclaimed throughout the earth? So I want to use two passages. One, the Solomon passage, and this is Jehoshaphat. This is when he was being surrounded. And trouble had arrived at the doorstep very literally. Very literally. And this is him speaking in just a moment. It says, "And now behold the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you had not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy. Behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of our possession, out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." How many times have you had your own version of that last sentence on that? God, I'm overwhelmed. God, there is no way the money is going to make it. God, I don't even know how I'm going to make, I'm going to know how I'm going to get through the strength to get through the rest of the week. But my eyes are on you. Now, I believe Jehoshaphat, that was who this is, was very honest. We are surrounded. Now, I believe something about this passage is that is this. He looked at the physical enemies, but he saw what was going to take place if something didn't change. They were going to go into slavery, but before that, they were probably going to be very miserable. How were they going to be miserable? Very practical. They're going to be starved to death. Probably going to run out of water. People are going to be turning on one another. And you know what probably the worst thing may have been going to happen? You can go ahead and read the before and after. Because I'm just giving you my opinion on this. Is this. There were going to be a lot of good ideas what they should do to get out of this mess. Don't I have a lot of good ideas when situations arise? It may not even be a big mess. It may just be a little situation. And you're already thinking of all the possibilities. And we're going through the possibilities to see which outcome is either the less evil of all of them. He was wise enough to say, we got to keep our eyes on. But let's contrast that to something else. John? Let's contrast this to Solomon. Now this was when Solomon, he was still a young fella. He was king of Israel. Young guy. He too is honest. The enemies had not surrounded Israel. Everything was going great, as a matter of fact. David had passed away. He had left the kingdom to Solomon. Things were cheery. I mean, he was on top of the world. Israel was king, literally. So he says, that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." I've never had that dream. But maybe it's because my heart's not ready to have that question asked to me yet. Think about that. Solomon answered God, "You've shown great kindness to David my father and made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours?" God said to Solomon, "Since this is your heart's desire, and you've not asked for wealth, possessions, or honor, nor the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given you. And I will also give you wealth, possessions, and honor, such as no king who was before you ever had, and none after you will have." Church, what I want you to see today before we go into some questions and I want to hear from what's on your heart is something very simple. Jehoshaphat was surrounded. Trouble had come to the land. And he was saying, "God, I need help." Good, honest appeal. But contrast that to Solomon for just a moment. Things are going well. And basically he acknowledges something. "God, without you, the things that I'm going to have to face are going to be extremely difficult in my own strength, in my own wisdom, me trying to figure it out in my own way." Because Solomon, although he was young, had probably already seen and heard the stories about how the Israelites had rebelled against God in the desert, against Moses, and all the various ways they had rebelled against God. Solomon knew the type of people he was dealing with. These people are going to come to me with some difficult situations. And God, I need wisdom for what's coming. Because I want you to see, I want you to be challenged. I'm challenging myself today to have some depth to seeking God, to seek God for what's coming. Now, there might be stuff at your doorstep you're seeking God on too, but I want you to see something that as the church, as the body of Christ, let's be proactive instead of reactive. Let's be seeking God before we feel like if we don't find Him, we're in a lot of trouble. Seek Him while He may be found. John, go ahead and put up the first question. So I want you to see, as you see that first question, Jehoshaphat, trouble asking God, we're going to keep my eyes on you, God. Versus Solomon saying, life is tough. God, I need you. I need you. First one is this. How does seeking wisdom before a problem differ from seeking wisdom during or after a problem? I use the word problem. You can fill in whatever word you want. How does seeking wisdom differ when things are going well versus when things aren't going well? I have the pleasure of picking up Caleb Barnes every other Friday from school, and he gets in my car. That's James and Stephanie's youngest little boy, the blonde-headed one, if you don't know which one that is. And one of the things I ask him is, I said, did you get to take a nap today? He'll say, yeah, they make us take a nap. Now, you think about something for a second. If you were made to take a nap every day, would you say it with dread, or would you be like, yeah, I got to take a nap today? I know Dusty takes it, you know, he thinks Audrey makes him take a nap still, I think. I don't know. Oh, no, wait, that's Rick. sorry, Rick. That was just too easy. And I'll tell something to Caleb that he has no comprehension of, but it makes me feel better saying it. Caleb, there'll become a day when you wish you had that nap back that you didn't want to take. And not trying to understand that kind of what all of us you've already said already is this. You know to be seeking God for God, okay? And as He dispenses wisdom and He shows you and reveals things to you, that there are things ahead that you don't know, that I don't know. And those things could be this afternoon. But it doesn't mean you're going to avoid everything. It doesn't mean we're going to get to avoid it. But how are you going to handle it? How's it when it comes at you? Because I believe Jehoshaphat, I believe he was actually pretty much at peace. I really do. But something had led up to the events. There was other things going on. Solomon saw the landscape and said, these people need to be led, but this is going to take more than me leading them. And I think a key that I want to get across this morning is, it's going to take more than you in any situation in life. Me, any situation in life. Okay? John, hit number two. What's this one about? How at such a young age did Solomon know to ask for wisdom? We don't know exactly his age, but he was young still. How did he know? God showed up. What Mike said was his verse for the day that he pulls up on his phone, how it applied, and how he said it applies a lot in his life each day. But the verse that from Isaiah 55, where God says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. And that Solomon, even at a young age, grasped that. But I think to add to that was this. He did grasp it, and I think all the things you guys said is very true, but he understood that it wasn't just something that was going to be in his head. He knew action would be required. And here's why I'm telling you that, okay? So often, I believe the church in America believes things in their head that they believe will require no action outwardly. We know Scripture. We know the stories. We know what we're supposed to be doing. But yet we walk out those doors, it's as if somebody else is the one supposed to be doing it. And that is a big struggle. The battle is aware, we're aware of the battle, but somehow or another, I think so often that we're handing the sword and the shield to somebody else and say, I hope it goes well for you, let me know. Solomon took it face to face. He understood there was no other king going to be making decisions. It was him sitting in the throne because that's where God had put him. And God had put you and I in situations, hasn't he? And that there's nobody else that's going to be called to deal with those situations except you and I. Okay? For all of us parents, aren't there been some days you'd like to have traded in a child or two maybe? Okay? How about there's been some situations where, I mean, just yesterday, I was expressing my dislike for certain college football teams. I won't go there. Okay? All right? And Cameron said, why do you dislike them so well? And I said, son, I don't have time to list all the reasons. Okay? Just trust me. There's a strong dislike for them. Okay? Now, what does that have to do with Solomon at such a young age? God appointed him to something. He accepted his calling. But he knew it was bigger than him. And you know that, and I know that. But we can't escape what God has told us to do. It's not somebody else's responsibility. John, go to the next one, please. So why do we wait to seek God in wisdom? Why do we wait? Why do we put it off? When we know we're to be doing it. Why do we wait? Yes, you're right. Unexpected things happen. You know, think about your example, Bobby, of the women showing up with the babies. What I've always thought about that story. Now, that's the first story recorded in Scripture that he asked to use wisdom. We don't know if it was the first encounter of that, but I've often thought, man, God, why didn't you start solving out with something easy? I mean, that was a tough, unexpected dilemma. And I guarantee you something, Solomon didn't have days and months to wait on that decision. And I think one of the things is that things come upon us that we all know that come upon us, but we still want to delay making the decision when God's saying, don't have time.
Right.
How do you apply it to life daily? And especially when situations arise. It requires discern between this way or that way. And it really is this way or that way. There's no middle ground. Thank you, Willette. One of the things I want to add to what Rick said that I think is very important. Like I said, all of you know Solomon's story just as well as I do. You can't store it up. And Solomon showed you can screw it up. Because a little bit later on, whose voice did Solomon start to listen to? Idols. Go ahead. What did you say, Stephen? His wife. Exactly. Which one? Because he made a mistake. He made a mistake that went against what God had told the nation a long time ago. So you not only can you not store it up, you better not be so prideful that you're just going to ask one time. I want you to understand today that these aren't new things to any of us in this room. But maturity is not optional. And I'm not talking about growing in knowledge. I'm talking about growing in a depth of your relationship with God where there's a deeper understanding of who He is and what He is giving opportunities for us to do and to be. Scripture reminds us, when Solomon made a few rulings, man, his name was known throughout the entire earth. But most importantly, whose name was he a banner for? Whose name was he really carrying? Jehovah. He was carrying that banner. So this isn't a wisdom, however high the water is or it isn't, but it's whose name's getting exalted through the wisdom. And I challenge you. I challenge me today to say, am I seeking wisdom for me or am I seeking wisdom for His glory? Big difference. And I know you know that. But tomorrow, when life happens, remember that. And remember whether you're surrounded by some ites or maybe you're at a peaceful moment. Are you still seeking Him for Him? So let's pray. Father, I would ask once again a very simple thing. The things you have spoken, may they stick. May they find a place to be watered and fertilized and to grow. Lord, the things you've been speaking to us about before we ever arrived here today. Lord, I'm praying for those things too. Guard them, protect them. Lord, we know the world, the flesh, and the devil looking for a way to steal, kill, and destroy it. So God, I pray that we'll allow you to protect us, that we'll be wise in our pursuit of you. And God, there are a lot of voices that are competing for yours. But God, I do believe that, Lord, you in your graciousness make your voice the plain one if we're willing to hear it. Lord, I ask your protection over us once again. For all the glory and honor be to you, Father, in Jesus' name.